Tannehill dropping under pressure, rolling to his right. He might run this in. Five. Tannehill. Touchdown, Titans.
Tennessee Titans, with all of one day of practice over the last 2 weeks, looked pretty sharp last night. Tuesday night football on CBS, and the Titans roll the Bills 42-16. That's who the Chiefs will play next, the Bills, in Buffalo, coming up on Monday at 4 o'clock. 3 o'clock pregame on Z96.3 Lake. The Bills no longer undefeated. They're now 4-1. Tennessee improves to 4-0. Welcome to the sports ticket. Titans win last night 42-16. Local sports, there was the NCAA cross-country league meet. And for Beloit, we can tell you those that medaled. On the girls' side, Jenna Baluch, a ninth-place medalist, all-league performer. And Ariana Armstrong, 10th-place medalist, all-league. On the boys' side, freshman Lance Lundeen, or as I call him, Stretch. Lance Lundeen, 5th-place medalist, all-league. Pretty impressive for a freshman. Jacob Porter, 7th-place medalist and all-league for Beloit. The Beloit varsity runners will next compete at the Norton Regionals on the 24th of October. The top two teams and top 10 places qualifying for state in Wamego. The results are posted at ncksports.com. Also, the 2020 Northern Plains League High School Volleyball Tournament. All the pools have been put together. There'll be a pool at Tescott, and there'll be a pool at Lincoln and a pool at Sylvan Lucas. And St. John's, Tipton, and Osborne, and Lincoln are in one. Let's see. And also, let's see here. Sylvan Lucas, Lincoln, Osborne, St. John's, Tipton. There are in one pool. And another pool, Lakeside, Southern Cloud, Thunder Ridge, and Rock Hills. Another pool, Pike Valley, Chase, Tescott, and Natoma. So there you have it in regards to the pools. And then they will bracket it out and so forth and so on. All of that is available to you to peruse and to take your time looking at ncksports.com. That's also where you can read about the latest athlete of the week, which we'll reveal a new one coming up either today or tomorrow. And also that's where you can go to find out the latest standings, schedules, and news for your area sports teams in high school at ncksports.com. We have our high school football locker room chance tonight at 5:15. We'll talk to the football coach of the Beloit Osborne Smith Center in Thunder Ridge. And tomorrow, St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hill, Sylvan Lucas, all those available to you via the radio at KD Country 94, online kdcountry94.com. If you miss any of those, they're available on our podcast later on at kdcountry94.com. We have high school football for you on Friday. We have the Football Express brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable at 5:40, previewing all the area matchups, hearing from the coaches before the game, 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7, couple of big district games, Minneapolis at Beloit on KD Country 94, and live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel. Lakeside at St. John's Tipton. Lakeside can win the district with a win at St. John's Tipton. St. John's Tipton needs a win to perhaps get a home game in the first round of the playoffs. Lakeside at St. John's Tipton on Z96.3 The Lake. And then we'll conclude our coverage at 10:05 on Friday, week 7 of the high school football season, with the State Farm Insurance Local High School Scoreboard Show. So that's a look at local sports in our area. Baseball playoffs last night. The Atlanta Braves get it done again against the Dodgers, up 2-0, but it got scary at the end.
Hard hit. Third baseman makes the play, and that's Austin Riley to end the night. What a game. What a finish. And Riley, the sure-handed third baseman, who made a great defensive stop in the first, makes a sure-handed play in the ninth. And in a 4-hour, 12-minute game, the Atlanta Braves hang on.
Braves are up 7-0. They are up 8-3 going into the ninth. Dodgers scored 4 and had a chance to tie or take the lead, but the Braves get it done. So the Braves are up 2-0, that best of 7 against the Dodgers. And the Tampa Bay Rays are up 3-0 on the Astros.
Wendell's very fast, tough to double up. And he slaps one, and it's down, a base hit, just over the glove of Bregman into left field. A Rosarena's in, right behind him is Lau, and the Rays have the lead.
So the Rays win 5-2, they're up 3-0. Chance to get the sweep tonight at 7:40 at Petco Park on TBS. At Greinke, you'll try to keep the Astros alive. Greinke's been battling some arm soreness. And the Braves and Dodgers, the Dodgers, this is game 3, and no Clayton Kershaw. He was scratched from his start yesterday due to a back issue, and he's had back issues throughout his career, and just a bad time for that for the Dodgers. and he's not going to go tonight. It doesn't look like either. 5:05 on FS1, Dodgers Braves. Dodgers trying to avoid an 0-3 hole. Back to the NFL for a moment. Anthony Sherman on the COVID-19 reserve list, the fullback for the Chiefs, and he's a solid special teams player. Does not have COVID-19, but he's a close contact and high risk, so thus he is on that list and will not be playing the next game or perhaps two. Le'Veon Bell is a free agent. Never did understand why he signed with the Jets. The coach didn't even want him. Did not work out well. Don't know what's left in the tank for Le'Veon Bell. Not sure if he was misused or he just simply didn't have much left after he sat out a year, which does look, in hindsight, like the wrong decision. Le'Veon Bell is a free agent. Chris Jones and him are friends. And they're Chiefs fans, of course. As soon as somebody pops up, hey, can we get Le'Veon Bell? I don't think you're getting the same Le'Veon Bell that ran all over you in the playoffs. But if it's it'd be a league minimum salary for the rest of the year. If you want to take a flyer on him and give Hilaire help Le'Veon Bell shoulder the burden a little bit, I'm open to it. I'm not really excited about it, to be quite honest with you. But if they want to do that, the Chiefs can do that. That's fine. I think Bell's going to go elsewhere. I don't even know if the Chiefs are interested in Le'Veon Bell being a guy on this football team. I mean, I think he could help you, but at the same time, his yards per carry ranked 48th out of 49 running backs the last 2 years with the Jets. Now, once again, maybe just not used right, and even injury-prone, and he hasn't been doing much when he catches the ball out of the backfield either. So either he's washed up or the Jets totally didn't want to use him, didn't like him, I don't know. But I guess if it's a league minimum for the rest of the year, take a flyer on him, and if he's interested in playing the Chiefs and Chiefs have mutual interest, I guess that's fine. But I personally am not too excited about it.
Yeah, it's one of those deals that doesn't matter either way to me.
Exactly.
Kind of like if they get him, they get him. If they don't, they don't. I'm not up in arms. Like, hey, yeah, you got to go get this guy.
Yeah.
If he comes, he comes.
If he comes by, he comes by. That's fine. Wichita State's men's basketball coach Greg Marshall is being investigated by the school for alleged physical and emotional abuse of his players, denied all the allegations levied against him in a statement to the Wichita Eagle on Tuesday. In response to the allegations put forward in the media, I simply state unequivocally that I have never physically struck a player or colleague, Marshall said, doubling down on the statement last week in which he acknowledged he can be demanding, harsh, or strict, but that he is not abusive. Allegations claiming otherwise are false. That coming straight from Greg Marshall, who went on to say, I'm aware the university conducted interviews and I fully participated in the process. I look forward to having it wrapped up as I continue to focus my energy on our team. Wichita State announced Friday it has commissioned an investigation into the conduct of Marshall a day after sources confirmed the probe to CBS Sports. The Athletic was first to report the investigation into Marshall's behavior. The scope of the investigation is singular in nature and centers on how he treats his players, with alleged physical abuse among the several alarming accounts involved in the report. Among the allegations in the report include shoving former player Shaq Morris in the back, punching Morris between the shoulders near his neck, and attempting to punch a student through a driver's window after the student parked in Marshall's reserve parking spot. His treatment of individuals in and around the program has also raised alarms, and of course some on-court behavior as well. And on top of that, he is alleged or accused of choking an assistant coach during a practice back in 2015. It should be noted there are former players that have come to Greg Marshall's defense. It should also be noted that the 2 main years that these allegations are being levied against Greg Marshall, no players from those two teams have come forward to support Greg Marshall, but those before or after those seasons have. So we shall let it play out. As I said, if he's guilty of this, he's got to go, obviously.
Yeah.
If he's not, then I guess he can stay on. To me, let's let it play the course. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? You know, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
I think they're very believable things, especially when lots of players come out and support it and all the kids that have transferred the last couple of years. But that's speculation. I don't know for sure if this was exaggerated and he was abusive but not as bad as it seems. There are a lot of coaches that are abusive, but you call it verbal abuse or whatever. But the physical abuse obviously crosses the line. And verbal does too, don't get me wrong. But some alarming allegations from former players of Greg Marshall. But Marshall says unequivocally that he never struck a player or colleague, and so forth and so on, and all the allegations are false. So we'll see if Greg Marshall has egg on his face or down the line, or we'll see if he's vindicated. Time will tell.
Yeah. I don't know. Like you said, there's a lot there that makes you think it's probably true, but you do. You let it play out and let them see. You don't just like knee-jerk reaction say goodbye to Greg Marshall. You got to make sure you do the right things and make sure that, yeah, these are not unfounded, and then he can make that decision.
For quite some time, Bobby Knight there was stuff out there. But until the video choking Neil Reed on a practice video really started to come out,
yeah,
people tended to be like, well, you know, how are you going to prove it? It's he said versus he said. I don't know if there's some smoking gun video out there or not with the Greg Marshall situation. Of course, today is a little different than it was when Bobby Knight coached, too.
Yeah.
COVID's impact on golf and Florida football. This is kind of interesting. University of Florida has paused organized football activities due to COVID-19 concerns. The school announced yesterday an increase in positive tests led to its decision to halt the process, a decision which will be reviewed today by the University of Florida Health and the Athletic Department sports medicine staff. Florida reported 5 positive COVID-19 tests within the football team on Monday morning. The 10th-ranked Gators are scheduled to host LSU this weekend, but that game could be in jeopardy based on how long Florida's pause and workouts last. Florida head coach Dan Mullen has been vocal about his desire to pack the swamp this weekend for the cross-division rivalry game against LSU after the state moved to Phase 3 of its reopening plan, which allows full attendance at stadiums. He said, I want 90,000 people there and pack the house against LSU. Some people find that irresponsible. Others say, hey, you know, let's live our lives and move on. The outbreak of the coronavirus within the football program likely prevents Florida from getting a packed crowd of 90,000 people at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. Let's see. Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best soccer players in the world, he has tested positive for COVID-19, as has the number one golfer in the world. Dustin Johnson has withdrawn from the CJ Cup after testing positive for COVID-19 this week. Johnson has not played since the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, but came in as one of the favorites in Vegas to win this tournament that he was supposed to play in. He had experienced symptoms of the virus, alerted PGA Tour officials, and was administered a test. He is the biggest name in the sport to date to return a positive test since the sport's restart. The second straight week, a top 20 player has been forced to withdraw because of COVID-19. Last week at the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open, it was Tony Finau who had to withdraw due to COVID-19. As we mentioned, we mentioned this the other day. Somebody had sent this. I said it right here on the show that there was a rumor that Joshua Youngblood was going to transfer, yet I saw people shocked by this, so apparently they don't listen to our show. There were people that were shocked by this development. This has been rumored for a little while at Kansas State University. This does not come as a big shocker or surprise, except for people that weren't really following along, and that is that Joshua Youngblood, kick-returning Marvel last season, returned 3 kickoffs for touchdowns in his true freshman season. First-team All-Big 12, first-team All-American honors as a freshman kick returner. This was supposed to be his year to transition into a important wide receiver on this team. It just didn't develop. Played in 2 games, returned 5 kicks, rushed once for 3 yards. And against TCU, when K-State needed some help at wide receiver, they turned to DJ Render instead of Joshua Youngblood. Youngblood has entered the transfer portal, and it looks like he is headed out of the K-State football program. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, the writing had to have been on the wall. I mean, you see he's not hurt, but he's not playing.
No.
He's only playing in 2 of 4 games so far this year.
Right.
A guy like that that's a returning All-American as a kick returner, and you're not using him at all,
right?
Even kick returning or anything like that, it's like, yikes, that's probably not going to last very long. So, yeah, I'm not at all surprised that he's headed out.
Kellis Robinette, K-State beat writer with the Wichita Eagle and KC Star, will join us here in about 10 minutes, and we'll talk to him about that and ask him about Joshua Youngblood. There is some rumors about another notable K-State player. And Skylar Thompson situation, you know, would he come back next year? Because he doesn't lose a year at eligibility this year, even though he got hurt. And Will Howard's performance at TCU and the true freshman class that K-State has, that's all coming up with Kellis Robinette. Magic Johnson made an interesting comment. Of course, the whole LeBron versus MJ debate. Magic Johnson, I think, I take him as credible. He was a pretty good player. He helped bring LeBron to L.A. He knows great players when he sees them because he was one of the all-time greats. Played against Michael Jordan as well. And he says, in his eyes, and this is just his opinion, Magic Johnson, I hold his opinion higher than Stephen A. Smith or these other guys.
Nick Wright.
Yeah, whatever, Nick Wright. Magic says LeBron needs to win a title and repeat next year to be right there with Jordan. Now, I think part of this is a mind game with Magic because he's a big Laker. He's like, let's make LeBron be hungry again and get another title for the Lakers, which would put us one above the Celtics. I think this is Magic with a mind game to send a challenge to LeBron is what I think this is. And he may truly believe what he's saying as well. LeBron's already repeated as NBA champion. You know, Jordan did 2 3-peats. I guess I don't know why Magic stops there. Like, why didn't he say until LeBron wins the next 2 years and gets a 3-peat and has 6 titles total as Jordan, To me, that would be the ultimate way of saying, yeah, you're right there with Jordan. But Magic says one more, but yet that would be five, and Jordan has six. So I don't know what one more does. Apparently four is not enough. Six doesn't have to be, but five is the magical number. I am a little bit confused by that, and I go back to what I just said. I think this is Magic's way of saying, listen, LeBron was motivated by all the people that said he couldn't do it in L.A., couldn't go to the Western Conference, and he's aging and got hurt last year, and Anthony Davis isn't going to come to Lakers. Then he did. Well, it doesn't matter. Kawhi Leonard went to the Clippers, and LeBron was highly motivated. And I think this is Magic trying to provide more fuel for that motivation. Yeah. Because I don't see what the difference is between getting a fifth or having four. And in regards to the debate versus Jordan and LeBron, I don't see where five... Does five help? Yeah, I'm sure it helps. Just like four helps instead of three. But I don't know. To me, it's six. I mean, to me, it's six championships, and he's two away. That would be the thing I think a lot of Jordan supporters would hang on. But for Magic to say, well, you know, four is not enough, but five would be enough, and then they'd repeat. Well, he's already done the repeat at Miami with the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he'd have two repeats, and Jordan has two repeats. Of course, Jordan has two three-peats, and LeBron's never had a three-peat. So, like I said, maybe Magic stopped short of what he wanted to say was, you win the next 2 years and get a three-peat, and you have six. Now we can talk. I don't know, but it's just kind of interesting that, you know, a high-profile former great Hall of Famer who obviously worked for the Lakers and helped bring LeBron in to the Lakers organization is saying, not quite. That's just his opinion.
Yeah.
Or he has an alternative motive, as I just mentioned.
Yeah. Like you said, I'll put more stock into what he's saying than all those other guys. So,
yeah.
If Magic's talking about it, then I'll listen. But yeah, I don't really have an opinion based on that. I think I'm kind of like you. Like, what's the big difference if it's just a repeat, not a three-peat? But
right, because he's already had a repeat.
Yeah.
You know, if he had never repeated as an NBA champion, LeBron, I would understand.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you read that story, that's what you think Magic's meaning. But no, he had a repeat with the Heat, and they almost had a three-peat. They made it to the finals, and then, of course, the Spurs got redemption, you know, and won that series somewhat easily. Anyway, that's what Magic Johnson has to say about LeBron James. Let's see what else we got here that's happening in the world today. There's a story by Dennis Dodd on CBSSports.com. Thank you, Dennis. Titled, What Happened to Those Vaunted SEC Defenses? It's about time the SEC got called out by the national media about the myth that is there. They're no longer a defensive conference. And I tell you what, Dennis Dodd did a really good job of documenting this, and he went through everything from Alabama Ole Miss's game where there was 1,400 yards of offense, 111 points. Florida's given up 100 points over a three-game stretch already this year. Texas A&M gave up 7 yards a play, even though they won. LSU gave up 45 points to a Missouri team missing seven players on its two-deep roster. LSU gave up 623 passing yards to Mississippi State. Urban Meyer said that, in a quote, in the Big 12, it's kind of become an expectation. In the SEC, I never thought it would be. I remember when I was there how hard it was to get a yard, let alone 600. Some might suggest it's time for the SEC to take pie in the face, the same one its fans and pundits threw at the Big 12 all these years. Gimmicky, they called those Big 12 offenses. No defense, they sung. Un-American, subpar football is what some people scream from the Deep South. Well, guess what? Payback's a witch, SEC, as Dennis Dodd puts. Or maybe this is just the way of the world right now in football. The nation's offensive trend has bled into the Southeast like, well, a virus, and so forth and so on. Lincoln Riley says, hey, the head coach of Oklahoma, the game has changed. The aggressiveness of it has changed. Not that you can't have dominant defensive performances, but the chances you're going to be able to do that game in and game out against elite competition is just not as good now. I don't think there was a moment. I think it was a constant evolution to where we got to this point. 14 SEC teams, that's right. 9 of the 14 scored at least 30 points last week, and those 14 teams averaged 31 points. And it should be noted, the SEC, known as a team that runs the ball, they're physical, play great defense, that this past week, SEC teams passed 58 as of this week for the season. They've been passing 58% of the time. But yet, criticize the Big 12 because they don't play defense. Yeah. Well, the SEC apparently doesn't play defense anymore either. So it's kind of interesting. And I really appreciate Dennis Dodd putting that story out there to expose the myth that's out there.
Yeah, they're right. That wasn't a sudden onset either in the SEC.
No, that was all the way across the board.
Yeah.
No question.
It's been happening in. Officially has happened.
It has. It has. The Chiefs, I talked about Anthony Sherman. I don't know how much that's going to hurt them. You know, special teams, he's on the COVID reserve list, but once again, doesn't have COVID. If you're just tuning in for that. But the Chiefs and the Bills coming up Monday. The Bills losing to the Titans last night, 42-16. Titans with only one practice last 2 weeks look like they don't need practice. They look good last night, really good. Josh Allen made a couple of mistakes. The Bills didn't run the ball very effectively. I still think the Bills are a tough matchup for the Chiefs. But the Chiefs have more time to prepare. The Bills got to turn around now and play them on a Monday, but at home. Chiefs-Bills, 4 o'clock kickoff as of now, 3 o'clock pregame on Z96.3 Lake coming up on Monday.